Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome, everybody. Episode number 118. As always, globalfromasia.com/episode118 for all the show notes. I am recording this as I take a break from planning my trip at the end of June. Finally going to venture outside of Asia for a little bit. I have three different places to go. Thailand, Phuket for my buddy Doug Pierce's wedding. I'm the best man and I'm going to deliver a fun speech. I'm already sketching it out of his story coming over to Asia and meeting him and his wife to be. So it's a great time. And then after the wedding, I'm going to head directly to Barcelona for the Dynamite Circle BCN meetup. And it's going to be always great to meet other, I guess we'll call them digital nomads. I'm not sure if that's a cool word or not anymore, but other online entrepreneurs. And then hitting Prague, see my friend Simon Payne, one of the OGs of the DC, or the original gangsters, and a few others. And that will end right before July 4th. I got the okay from my wife to leave her and the kids at home, and grandpa and the Chinese family will help out while I'm gone. So I do need some time away. I think I've been a good husband and father, so it's still a couple months away and we'll prepare for that, but I have a green light. And also I want to thank everybody for your amazing support for our first conference here for the podcast. We got it called the Cross Border Summit. And I've been talking to media companies last week. We're going to be in That's PRD magazine in the April edition. So that's really awesome. And Shenzhen Party has been helping out, getting us some exposure on their website and friends sharing it on our WeChat groups, on their moments, emailing to their friends. So just thank you, everybody. It's getting pretty full already. I might have to, we don't have that many seats, so I might have to close early. But anyway, I just appreciate any support you can at crossbordersummit.com for all the info, April 16th. Okay, and speaking about globetrotting, today's show felt like I was taking a whirlwind trip around the world. We have Rob Green from GRM Global, and he's talking about his global expansion starting here from Hong Kong. Let's listen in. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us Rob Green. We've been talking a lot on email, and I'm excited to have you on here. So thank you for being here, Rob.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much, Michael.
Sure. So I've been doing some research and preparing for this show today, and we're going to do tips and strategies for rapid business growth in the Hong Kong market. And your firm has been growing very fast, right? And so it's very exciting for you. And do you want to speak quickly about your company and your background for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. It's it has been a very exciting time, actually. I'll give you the short, less boring version. I came here seven years ago to Hong Kong as a partner of a small executive search and recruiting business, and started to sort of very slowly build it up. About 2013, so 3 years ago now, it was very apparent that my business partners, who were based in the Caribbean, didn't really have much exposure to Asia. Them and I were moving in certain different directions, and what I felt that the Hong Kong and Asia market needed from its recruitment firms was different to what they were looking at. So long story short, I offered them a price for the Asia business and they accepted, and I bought them out. And that's when GRM was born. So February 2013. And yes, we've been sort of growing, well, a lot quicker than I actually thought. I obviously drew up a strategy at that time, certainly for the first 5 years, and we're ahead of that, I'm pleased to say. So, I've certainly got some tips and hopefully some strategies that your listeners will find interesting.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, that's so it's a lot of listeners are, there's different types of people here. Some are like the online traveler, business owner, and then there's definitely a lot locally in Hong Kong. So we're going to try to cover this for everybody. Maybe first we'll talk about, the scaling. I think scaling a business, starting a course is important too. I don't want to say it's easy to start, but I feel like a real challenge is, trying to get to the next level. What do you think of that? Or
Absolutely. I think it's probably the biggest challenge that I've faced to date is actually scaling the business. Because when I bought the business, it was only four people. So it was very small, although we had a small footprint, which meant it was good. It was okay to have a going concern. But then scaling up by person and by service and by offering and then by country has been a very big challenge. I suppose when you're going from four to five, you're obviously adding 20% to the workforce. So it, even that is quite huge, even though it's on a much smaller scale. And then when you move from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20, 30 and then 40 staff at multiple offices, it's a real challenge that any business faces, especially given the economic climate and its tendency to go up and down depending on the day.
Yeah.
And obviously you'll know Hong Kong as well as I do, and it's certainly a market that's the mood of the city is very much driven, I find, by the whatever the HKSE is doing that day. So it's certainly a challenging environment. I think it's definitely the biggest challenge I've faced, scaling up in the right way, into the right markets and with the right people. And I don't think there's necessarily a formula for it, because obviously every business is different. But what I did was we just looked at where our strengths were and tried to add to that. We looked at, in terms of other markets, we looked at where the opportunities might be. And we did a lot of, I myself and the rest of the team were doing a lot of studying and a lot of research into different markets and different sectors, and looking at the competition in those markets, obviously, and who we thought was strong and whether there was room for us. And most importantly, the people that we could hire and bring in. Because, you know, I mean, obviously I'm going to say this as a recruiter, but without the right people, the business goes nowhere. You know, you can have the right structure, but if they can't, and strategy, but if they can't deliver what you need them to do, then you know, it's going to be could be a false dawn.
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, it's part of your business, but it's a very, core part of any business is the people in the company. So that leads me to, so you mentioned your strategy when you started in Hong Kong. So you always had a multiple office kind of strategy and...
Yes. I think, part of the strategy that I wrote, for the first 5 years was to have at least one additional office in the APAC region to strengthen what we can offer and to our clients, because obviously our clients tend to be the major investment banks, private equity houses, law firms, and obviously they are, and insurance firms as well, they are dotted around the region. So obviously if we can be in more than one place, then we can service their needs a bit better across Asia Pacific in terms of their hiring strategies, but also from a candidate perspective and a job seeker's perspective, we would, the idea would be to be able to work between the offices and be able to offer those with an international mindset the chance to move abroad potentially, both out of Hong Kong and into Hong Kong. So that was definitely part of the strategy, but obviously it wasn't to have four offices this quickly, so I'm obviously very pleased about how it's gone to date.
Sure.
But obviously every one of those four offices to date has its own challenges, which I can certainly tell you more about.
Yeah, let's dig in. So just to confirm, maybe I'll just make sure we cover it for listeners. Are they all in Hong Kong, the offices, or are they in other parts of Asia for now?
So we have Hong Kong, Tokyo, Melbourne in Australia, and Johannesburg in South Africa. So we have a small footprint a small but growing footprint in Africa. But we're looking, obviously, with the addition of Melbourne and Tokyo, then we're strengthening our position in APAC. And they're all separate businesses, as it were. So they all run under their own different licenses, and obviously each country you have to have not only your business registration licenses, but also employment agencies need to have a license to operate as an employment agency in each of the countries.
I see. I got it. Makes sense. So then so they're all completely independent. I mean, there must be some kind of sharing of either resources or
yes, there is. Operationally, one of the things that I've been very keen on implementing since the very since we opened the first additional office was really to make sure that we had central resources, whether it be marketing, finance, accounting, administration, and that kind of thing, and then also, you know, from a recruitment perspective in terms of candidate generation and that kind of thing, I wanted that to be central so that the other offices would feel that they their colleagues might be quite far away, but that they were by their side. I always used to, well, I've said to the guys that come into business with me is, you know, I want you to feel like I'm in the office right next door to you. I might not be sitting right next to you, but, you know, that you can call on us at any time. So, and that's worked well. In terms of being able to offer the other offices the support that they need, certainly when they start. But yes, they are, you know, obviously they're separate businesses, and the time zones are sometimes a little bit difficult.
Yeah,
certainly with Johannesburg.
I could imagine. I mean, that's always a challenge with, you know, running global businesses and everything. So, how do you choose where to open an office? Is there in your strategy? I mean, maybe you can share with us some thought process for the business owners.
Yes, definitely. I can't run through a tick sheet with you, but certainly the first things that come to mind were, you know, recruitment and executive search and consulting in general in some markets and some cities is very saturated. So you first of all, we wanted to look where it wasn't so saturated. So obviously there wouldn't be a huge amount of competition. Or certainly if we were moving into a market that is relatively saturated, like London or New York, for instance, then we would take a different strategy. But so we wanted to look whether there would be opportunities to get a foothold in, somewhere where we think we can really make a difference to our clients. You know, I think the one thing that's always set us aside in our field has been our delivery of service and how, you know, how good we are at that. And luckily, you know, we've won a number of accolades that attest to that. But so it's somewhere where we can bring that service and it would make a difference. Somewhere where economically it's going to either grow or it is a market that we can get a market share in. Somewhere that obviously does has a market for the four areas which we cover in executive search, which is law, technology, insurance, and financial services. And then all of that aside, so, you know, in addition to all of that, it's all about finding the right person again. And, you know, our second office was obviously Johannesburg, and a lot of people were, well, I get asked a lot, why Johannesburg? It doesn't seem like a natural move from a Hong Kong head office then to move into South Africa. But, you know, I always explain, first of all, one of our biggest areas is legal recruitment. So it's law is something that is, in fact, it's probably our biggest area as an offering. My wife is from South Africa, so it's a market I know very well. And my sister-in-law is a lawyer, and my father-in-law is a judge in Cape Town and a special counsel barrister. So the legal sector is something that I know very well. And I talked to a lot of clients here, mainly international law firms, about the possibility of moving to Johannesburg and what are they planning with Johannesburg. And there seems to be a lot of excitement about the African market. I mean, you only need to, I don't know if you've ever been to Sandton, which is the main business district in Johannesburg, but if you drive in to the first skyscrapers you see is Bank of China and ICBC. There is an Asian footprint in Africa, and Johannesburg tends to be the entry to that. So again, it was a market I know fairly well from a legal perspective. And then I happened to know a guy get to know a guy called Dale Vester, who's our MD over there, who funnily enough went to university with my wife and is a trained attorney, but then moved into recruitment. So he's sort of a known entity, a good guy, someone my wife and friends knew very well, and happened to be a lawyer and have recruitment experience, and also very excited about the opportunity of bringing us to Johannesburg. So it ticked all the boxes, really. In addition to that, then we looked at the Melbourne market. Now, one of our other core areas is insurance. And Melbourne is very big on insurance. And really, that was a toss-up between whether we moved into Sydney or Melbourne. Again, we talked to clients on the insurance and law side. And then we looked at the market itself. And from a recruitment consulting and executive search position, the Sydney market tends to be a lot more saturated than Melbourne without being actually that much bigger. We started to hone in on Melbourne as someone with an opportunity. And then again, it went down to the person. I managed to get talking to Paul Garth, who has 14, 15 years experience in that field in Melbourne. There's not many people in that city that don't know who he is in regards to legal recruitment. And he was looking for the right challenge. So again, it was a match made in heaven there. And then latterly, and obviously that was an important structure, important part of the strategy to strengthen a position in APAC from a client perspective and job seeker perspective. And then latterly, Tokyo, which is a new area for us. Obviously, it strengthens our holding the northern part of Asia. It's a big market, as we all know. Obviously, it's not growing at the same sort of rate that, say, where Beijing would be, but it's already got there. And to be honest, from our side of things, it's not particularly saturated. And there is a lot of room for good quality service providers to the clients up there. So that's really it. It's in a nutshell of why we moved into those particular locations.
Sounds great. I mean, you must be traveling a lot. It just feels like I just went around the world on that answer.
Yeah, I do. But then obviously the wonders of Skype and various other means mean that I don't have to travel too much. And as I mentioned to you off air earlier, that I have two very small children who don't want me to travel that often. So it's quite easy. And again, though, I mean, with the size we are now, we're obviously growing and we're scaling up, but we're not ridiculously big. So I don't have to travel that often. We're trying to stay relatively nimble.
Cool. Very interesting. Yeah, as we talked earlier, I'm a new dad too, so it's exciting. And also, I don't feel like traveling as much either. So I totally understand.
I wouldn't mind. Although it's great when you get on the plane, you can actually sleep. It's quite nice. So you might want to get on a plane just to have a good night's rest.
I think I need that right now. Cool. Yeah. So more into your expertise here of recruiting. Maybe first, before we give tips for listeners, maybe you kind of mentioned it in the office location. Maybe that's more like your MD or your partners. But maybe that a little bit, or also just the local talent of how you find people.
It's ridiculously tough. I think, finding talent. I think, a lot of my friends who aren't in our industry, just assume that because we're in the recruitment game or the recruitment profession that we can just find people very easily for ourselves. But it's not easy at all. Our job is not easy. Otherwise we wouldn't be doing it. Effectively a $500 billion industry per annum. It's very hard to find talent because the recruitment industry needs. Well, there's a huge amount of areas you need to be skilled in, not just obviously research, but also sales as well. It's quite tough to find people. But I think what we've done, and most importantly, is we've been fairly careful with who we've chosen to bring in. We have made sure that we developed an internal training platform that everyone goes on so that we can make sure that people are, it doesn't really matter what their level of experience is. We can make sure that everyone's learning in the same way. We've in terms of how we find the talent, we make sure that we use all our own networks and then try to target the very best in the market to come over to us.
Cool. Sure. I mean, you've been in a business quite a few years, and that's one of the advantages that you have is your network. So maybe turning back to Hong Kong specifically, yeah, of course, everybody's always looking for good people to help them on their new business venture or their multinational. How have you noticed in Hong Kong specifically for, finding the right people, and any strategies to share for listeners?
Again, I don't think there's a hard and fast formula, because otherwise, people are like, like us wouldn't be in business if there was a formula to hire. Every business in every sector finds it has difficulties. Hong Kong specifically, I think, you know, there's a heap of very intelligent people here at all levels, from university leaders through to experienced workers. You know, everyone is well educated. Certainly the people that we come across, you know, that I don't know what the stats are, maybe you'd be able to tell me, but almost every single CV I see, they have further education, the degree in further education. It's highly educated people. So you've got a good talent pool to deal with. And that's one of the things we talk to people, clients about as well. When we talk to US and UK clients about opening in Asia, is if they haven't already got a presence here, is that the local talent pool is vast and well educated. So in terms of whittling down, you know, and using a strategy to find the right people to take us forward, I think, again, this is purely about our own industry. Recruitment is a hard job. It's a 24/7 job. It really is. It never ends. It's a roller coaster of emotion. And I think, you know, I'm looking for people who have what we call the willing and the desire to be an ambition to be successful. Those that have good EQ, those who can understand that the needs of the job seeker are as important as the hiring client, and people who can balance that. People who can, you know, analyze effectively, you know, our commodity, if you like, is people. And therefore, we have to make sure that we analyze their backgrounds and make sure we find the right people for our clients. So I don't know if I can pass on any strategy.
Sure.
It's about being really, really thorough. You know, we take the same approach for our hiring for ourselves that we do for our clients, which is a very thorough data background checking, you know, that sort of approach. And then it's sort of finding people who are like-minded and willing and ambitious and want to work hard, because it is a hard job. I think all jobs are hard these days. There isn't such a thing as an easy job anymore. But that's how we go. And we take our time with our hiring strategy, as we do with our background checking when we're working with clients. So that's, you know, I suppose, take your time and be thorough. The only strategy I can give, because there is a lot of talent out there.
True. I mean, sometimes I think it's always, there's that saying like hire slow, fire fast, you know, so do your homework up front. And like you said, your due diligence and background checks. Let's just say maybe they found out later that it was the wrong fit. Normally there's like a probation period or getting to know you period where it's a little bit easier for the employer and the staff to part ways, or?
Yeah, that's typical. And, you know, Hong Kong is, rightly or wrongly, the employment legislation is skewed quite heavily towards the employer. There is always a probationary period. Every firm has a probationary period. And yes, there tends to be a very short notice period in that probationary period if things don't work out. But again, hopefully you don't go through that, because, you know, the recruitment process can be an expensive operation. You know, a recruitment fee to a client is minimal compared to what that if that person is successful in terms of what they can bring to the company. But you're talking about taking just a time cost alone for line managers and human resources departments to hire someone to, you know, to go through 30, 40 interviews to find the right person, to then onboard them and hopefully get them into their training programs. And, you know, it's a huge cost to businesses to bring people on. It probably still is the biggest investment companies will make is in the people they bring in. And, you know, it's sometimes sad to see that it does go wrong, especially after a big investment. But that's where, you know, obviously the partnership with firms like ours, and there are many, many good recruiters in this market. So, you know, firms like ours, the partnership with that, is hopefully a lot of that background checking has been sorted and done. And a lot of, we can, you know, obviously firms like ours can assist with the onboarding process if needs be. And we also offer training facilitation so that it, you know, we can help out on that side once the people are into their firm. And if it doesn't work out and they go through the probationary period again, we offer, and I know that a lot of other recruitment firms offer a rebate on the recruitment fee, you know, so it's not as expensive. There's ways around it.
Got it. So you mentioned onboarding, which is pretty, you know, interesting, and the training portals. Do you mind maybe giving a little bit of an overview of maybe a new hire getting started in a typical firm?
Yes. I suppose most firms have the same sort of strategy as ourselves. And I think, you know, it's what you've got to do. I mean, you and I and everybody who's listening, we've all been that new guy in the job on the first day. And obviously it's nerve-wracking and, you know, you don't know your new colleagues and they all seem so comfortable and confident and all that kind of thing. So I think, you know, one thing we do is we're trying to get them acclimatized as quickly as possible and introduced to all of the individuals within the offices and teams and make sure that they're welcomed within the first 15, 20 minutes and make sure that everyone knows who they are and give them tasks to be getting on with so that they can get their head down and get into the work, because that will help them acclimatize. And then obviously socialize with them as well within the first week and make sure that they start to build friendships within the organization, and also get them onto our training program, internal training program, depending on the level that they are at. If they're at management level, then I will be sitting with them discussing their strategy for, you know, for the first few weeks or first few months, as it were. And I think, yeah, the whole point is about getting them acclimatized as quickly as possible and settling in and being comfortable. And I'm sure that, you know, every other firm every other hiring firm out there does something very similar. Where we actually do offer that as a service as well. Some of our smaller clients who potentially don't have human resources department or maybe have one or two people, you know, we can offer some of those services in terms of building them an onboarding structure or strategy, you know, loosely based around our own. And, you know, and then latterly, we can, like I said, we've got partners who we can offer training solutions through as well. So that's something that we try to get right internally. Again, it's an expensive operation, bringing in the right talent. But obviously, as we've shown with our rapid growth, if you do bring in the right people and you do give them the right platform and a platform to grow as well, I think that's the most important thing. You know, if you're asking for ambitious people, then, you know, you've got to realize that part of their ambition is going to be to build their career. They can take your business through the stratosphere.
Got it. Yeah, it's definitely right. People make all the difference. I totally agree. And
the way that you get them on board as well and get them bought into the company and the culture and into their work from you know, hopefully from day one, you know, rather than just plonking them on a desk and telling them to get on with it. Sure. You know, I think if you really integrate people as quickly as possible, then they'll settle quicker and they'll be culturally tied into the firm, and then they'll work really well for you.
Got it. So, okay, so switching gears, getting towards the end here. I'm always curious about what differences or, you know, similarities you've noticed from in Hong Kong, from where else you've done business around the world. If you want to give some highlights.
Doing business, how it is to be
like different. Yeah, like cultural differences or Hong Kong versus the Western places, if there's similarities or some kind of highlights or maybe stories, yeah, that you can think of.
Absolutely. No, I have had a relatively interesting career from that perspective, because I moved from a very mature market in London and then went to a very, very small and immature market in the Caribbean, in particular in the Cayman Islands. Wow. And then spent, which, you know, is, as you can imagine, is a lot slower than London, and then moved from Cayman to Hong Kong, which the speed difference was like, I don't know, riding a push bike or riding a motorbike. It's it was two different worlds. So yeah, I can certainly tell you some the differences. I think doing business in the UK and across Europe, as I used to do, you're talking about very mature markets. You know, London in particular, you know, very well-established ways of doing business. Companies have big, big teams. You know, I know clients who I work with here who might have, say, 40, 50 people in Hong Kong, but in London they may have 600, 700, 800, maybe even 1,000 staff. So you're talking about big businesses, big machines. They've been around for a very, very long time, hundreds of years. And, you know, it moves quickly, but it's a place where decisions are made, and it's an exciting place to live and work. Moving from there to the Caribbean was a huge cultural difference. I think Cayman, obviously, is, as everyone knows, is a well-established offshore financial center, but it's not huge. Obviously, it's an island of, I think, 65,000 people, and I think 35,000 of them are expats. But I'll give you an example in numbers. I left an agency that had two sales floors of about 300, 400 people, which, you know, looked like a scene from Wolf of Wall Street. Awesome. Through to an agency that had two people in it on the beach in the Caribbean. So it was a bit of a wake up call in terms of the size of business that I joined. But, you know, I think doing business in the Caribbean was the main difference, really, from London, was the speed of which things are done. And it was a lot slower to get things pushed through. But at the time as well, things were, you know, this is pre-Lehman Brothers, so things were moving quite a pace, certainly for the Caribbean, until things, you know, went awry. But I think the pace of doing business and getting decisions made was a lot slower from clients. And then, like I say, once we moved to Hong Kong, which was actually during the GFC, I think I was just, even though business was, by comparison to now, relatively slow, because obviously everyone thought the world was coming to an end, I think I was just struck by the speed of how quickly business gets done in Asia, and how quickly the markets are moving, and how quickly the needs of your clients change. I think that's, again, something that I discuss with people if we are bringing them in from overseas, is that the one thing that continually strikes me is, you know, Asia is just, as a continent, is just moving at such a pace. But the needs are changing all the time, depending on which country you're in. And that's what makes it a massive challenge. And that's what makes it exciting as well. And one of the reasons why although we've grown fairly rapidly, we've still tried to stay small enough to be nimble, so that when things do change, you can adapt accordingly. And that sort of sums up my own experiences.
I like it. So yeah, it's been great so far. I know we're both busy people in Asia. So just to finish things off, how can people contact you and your business to learn more?
Oh, definitely. People can contact me directly. My email address is r.green@grm.global. They can also call the office line, which is +852 283 6382. But no, I'm more than happy to chat to anyone who's in this market that's looking to scale their business or looking to grow, and I'll happily have a coffee or a beer and sit down and have a chat with people and tell them, you know, what mistakes I made and how I've hopefully learned from them. And I'll be happy to chat to anyone.
Great. Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate you coming on today.
No, thank you, Michael. Thanks for your time. And I hope your listeners find that useful.
Thank you, Rob. And he's a podcast listener himself, and it was a pleasure to get him on the show. So thanks. And anybody listening, if you have other recommendations for guests that we have in future episodes, we have quite a few shows already recorded and ready to go for the next month or two. But I always love hearing from listeners about new topics or guests or even problems they're having with their business, because that is always a great content for us to share. So please shoot me a note over at mike@globalfromasia.com. All right, now it's time for me to get back to the hotel hunting and the flight booking for my excited June trip. So see you guys next week and have a great day. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.